What's up, Clippers Live?
Woo, what's up, guys?
It's me, William the Opinion Update.
And positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the Clippers content you can handle, Monday through Friday.
We do it.
Today is Tuesday, which means Twitter Tuesdays. So we're going to be live streaming on Twitter. If you haven't checked that out before, please check us out at Locked On Clips.
Come through. There's room.
Yeah. So we'll be taking the question throughout the broadcast. We'll try not to interrupt the regular flow of the show. But
yeah, we'll do our best.
We do our best. Sometimes there's a juicy question. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a preview of tonight's matchup against the Mavs. Really excited for that one. Hopefully we can keep this winning streak going.
God, that'd be great.
And then we're going to get into our Twitter Tuesday segments where we'll be taking some questions from you, the watchers, the listeners, whomever. As always, you can tweet those questions anytime in the week at Locked On Clips or at Will Updike or at Charles Mockler.
We'll get to them.
You know, we'll definitely get to them. We love hearing from you guys. And then we're going to wrap things up with just kind of a NBA recap of last night's action. So All that and more coming up right now.
So the Clippers are playing the Mavs tonight in Dallas, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Side note that Don Knobler, whatever the guy's name is, banned from the Mavs arena. The guy who got into it with Patrick Beverley last time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's just banned for this season, which is awesome.
Wow.
So that's great. So injuries real quick. Gallo's for sure out.
Bummer.
Which sucks.
He's out.
Okay, if you listen to yesterday's episode, Will has some thoughts on this. Lou warmed up last game but didn't play. He's questionable at game time decision.
You just got to keep the hammy limber.
Dude, so apparently he looked good in 2-on-2 against the assistant coaches yesterday in practice is what Doc said.
That's always a good sign.
Which is awesome. I hope he just picks out a random assistant coach every day and just blasts them. This is a winnable game.
Definitely.
This is a very... and for the Mavs, sorry, they're without J.J. Barea. Dennis Smith Jr. will return to the team tonight. They're on their second night of a back-to-back, which is great for us.
Yeah, definitely. And just some quick team stats. The Clippers are 10th in an offensive rating. We've slipped a little bit, and we're up to 22nd in defensive rating versus the Mavericks, who are 19th in offensive rating and 13th in defensive rating. Hmm.
So it is a weirdly even match.
It is weirdly even, yeah. I think that we've performed better than those numbers indicate, and obviously the offense has slipped a little bit due to that stretch of five games there. But still, you know... It's a very winnable game.
Yeah, and the season splits, it's really close. They beat us when we had that rough run in December when we went 2-7.
Yeah.
And then we beat them the last time we played, both teams winning by 4 points. So no matter what happens, I think it's going to be really close tonight.
Yeah.
After this game, we play the Heat on the second night of a back-to-back, then the Bulls on Friday. So we got three games in 4 nights, excuse me. It's 3 winnable games.
Yeah.
Going to be interesting to see how Doc manages these minutes. Let's get into what we need to do to win.
For sure.
I liked that young guy lineup you were talking about yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I think with potentially Lou not playing a ton, I kind of hope he doesn't play too much tonight.
Yeah.
Given his hamstring, we're going to see some weird like 3-guard lineups for sure.
Definitely.
Which would be really sweet.
Hey, Cooperman joined in. What's up, man?
What's up, Cooperman? Yeah, so like when the Mavs when they don't have DeAndre or like one of their other traditional bigs on the floor, I think I want to see Shea, Bev, and Tywall.
Yeah.
With how good Beverly's been shooting the ball, this is like a quasi 3-and-D lineup, it feels like.
Definitely.
It could be interesting. Jovan Buha thinks, he tweeted out, I'd guess the Clippers rotation looks like this. Starting lineup again of Trez, Tobias, Avery, Pat, and Shea.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know, it's like a 3-guard lineup it's a small lineup.
Yeah, it's small. It's a little vulnerable right there with DeAndre going up against Trez.
Yeah.
Which I'm a little about. And then the second unit, if Lou plays, it would be Lou, Motley, Tywall, Jerome. And then if Lou doesn't play, it'd be Sendarius in there. So the reserves are going to be fun to watch tonight, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you got going with what we need to do to win?
So I think we got to come out strong in the first. Great victory the other day by just like establishing a lead. And keeping it going.
Put on
I think though, you know, just with the way that our roster is a little bit depleted right now, if we're playing catch up, this is going to be a loss.
Yeah, especially in this arena.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned that, dude. Like this, the Dallas arena, when they start playing well, might be a top five arena to go against.
Definitely. So little offense in the starters. Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be an issue. Luckily, both benches are missing. Or not luckily, but fortunately, when we're missing
God.
One, both benches are missing a 20-point guy, us and Lou Williams, and obviously them with J.J. Barea. But yeah, it's something to consider.
He's such a big loss for them. I would argue that he's almost a bigger loss. Yeah, he's the same amount of loss for them as Lou is for us.
Oh, very comparable.
Which is very weird.
Very comparable.
Because J.J. Brea is 48 years old. We got to be more competitive on the glass.
Definitely.
So last time we won, the Mavs had 64 rebounds.
Wow.
Which like blew my mind looking at it. We won that game by 4, but with no Gallo to take up space, we're going to need Tobias on the boards.
Definitely.
We're going to need Trez on the boards. We're going to need Gortat if he plays.
Yeah, we're still not exactly sure what the half is with that. But.
Yeah, do you think maybe we see some Boban minutes?
I think it's possible against a DeAndre Jordan. Mm-hmm. I think that it's possible to, you know, maybe lure them into some fouls.
That'd be nice.
They're a pretty stingy team foul-wise. I think they're 8th in the league in terms of fouls committed, but you never know. I think that Boban definitely shakes things up, and I think especially maybe not in the start, but later down in the stretch as DeAndre starts to get
tired.
That's
a good call.
I think that he's going to commit more fouls.
And you know, we waited so long to see him in that game against the Jazz that it's like maybe Doc switch something up. Another guy who could kind of come in weirdly with the rebounds is Patrick Beverley. He's kind of a wild card.
Yeah.
Like, but he can get in there and just kind of agitate people. You know, with how close our games against the Mavs, he could be a weirdly big difference on the boards in terms of points in the paint.
And Motley is good for, you know, at least 5 boards.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. What else do we got? Oh, defend the fast break.
Yeah, so we were outscored on the fast break in both outings, I'm pretty sure. Just let me double confirm that.
I would assume.
In the first one, we were outscored 14-19 in the loss, and in the victory, we were outscored 15-12. Lately, the team has been a lot better about defending the fast break. It's going to be really hard without Tobias, the strongest man in the league.
Gallo.
Without Gallo, the strongest man in the league there to kind of cover up holes. But, you know, that, like, the difference in fast break points was, like, truly the difference in a victory in that first game.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to at least stay even with them.
I say Tobias gets a triple-double Clips win. That would be fantastic.
That's a bold claim. I'd love to see it.
That actually transitions one to the next point. Let's just keep feeding Tobias.
Definitely. If he's got it, why not?
Yeah, the last 2 games he's been huge. If we get another 25-plus point performance out of him,
yeah,
we should be in good shape. I think instead of the Tobias cushion, since it's not there, we're going to need the Trez and Tobias cushion.
Yeah,
I think we might need 40 from both those guys combined.
Yeah.
40 combined, I think, will be good.
Oh, yeah.
We got to defend the 3 well.
Yeah, so they take a lot more threes than us. I think 10 more.
10 more threes than
about
us.
About 10 more per game. They're not very accurate, but they're like kind of an anomaly for a regular team in that they take about as many three-point attempts as they do twos. I think it's about 15 less per average per game. Yeah.
Damn.
So I think that it's fine maybe if we settle to giving up some of those points on the inside, especially, you know, due to Jordan and, like, let some of the lobs maybe go, but defend the perimeter really well.
Yeah, that goes. We can get into what could go wrong. That was one of my notes in here. They take 10 more threes than we do a game. If they get hot, we're going to have to ramp up the amount of threes we take, which without our best shooter could be disastrous.
I mean, without 2 of our best shooters,
without 2 of our best shooters. It's just that thing where, you know, we kind of get out-volumed by teams that shoot to 3.
Definitely.
Like, which is hard. They're also, this is a weird thing, they're 3rd in the NBA in free throws taken. Free throw attempts a game, which is a trip.
Wow.
But they're 27th in free throw percentage.
That makes sense.
Which, like,
yeah.
So that helps if things get a little more lopsided for us. But if this is like the Jazz game and they've been coached well to not reach and foul.
Definitely.
It could be kind of bad.
Yeah.
I think. What do you got for what could go wrong?
Our bench doesn't show up.
Ugh, we need them.
Yeah, so they've actually been, like, their bench with J.J. Barea has always, like, been within 20 points of our bench, which to me is a loss for our bench.
Yeah, our bench is elite. We have the second or maybe best bench in the league.
Yeah, and we generally need them to, like, establish leads and at you know, bare minimum keep the score even.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, we outscore their bench by a narrow margin of 15 in the first outing, and I mean, a little bit better with 17 in the second. Without Lou Williams, you know, like, that takes that number down significantly. So
that's taking like 18 points off the board.
Yeah. So if our bench is like as anemic as it was in the Spurs game, this is going to be a lot more difficult of a game to win.
Yeah, that was a trip that we won the Spurs game with such little production off of the bench. I think Motley led the way with, what, 10? Or like seven or something like that. Yeah. So I think tonight we're going to see hashtag more Motley. Shout out to the Free Motley movement. And some Jerome minutes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
we could see maybe extensive for Jerome minutes tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I would really expect to see him play 5-6 minutes.
Let's hope so. So this game also does feel a bit like a trap game.
Definitely. Yeah.
If Doncic does what he seems to be able to do every single night when he plays basketball and DeAndre is fueled by rage, we could be playing catch up at home, which we just mentioned is really hard, or catch up at their home, which we just mentioned is really hard to do.
Yeah.
So we just got, I mean, I think you nailed it. We got to be locked in from the beginning.
Definitely.
We can't let whatever Dallas food make us sleepy. I don't know. I feel like that's always a thing. Some key matchups. Doncic versus everybody. Like, dude.
Really?
We've thrown so many lineups at him. We've had AB guarded him. Tobias guarded him. Patrick Beverley guarded him. Gallo guarded him a few times last time we played. Also, weirdly, Doncic guarded Gallo the most of anyone he guarded the last time we played.
Wow.
Which I thought was just kind of a weird situation.
Interesting.
So Avery Bradley last time played the majority of defensive possessions against Luka, which was 27, and Luka shot 57%.
Wow.
Not good.
Also, Luka was not very effective at guarding Gallinari. He went off for 32 points in our last outing on like 70% field goal percentage.
Yeah, that would have been great. That's not their night, which sucks. Tobias guarded him the second most at 13 and held him to 33% shooting. Mm-hmm. So it's like Beverly guarded him for 11, got cooked for 80% shooting.
Wow.
Do we think we maybe see Tobias on Luka more tonight?
I mean, I think that Tobias on Luka is a great pairing. Tobias has the speed. He's, you know, relatively explosive, plus the size. So he won't really be able to get blown by.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good about foul-wise, like not biting pump fakes, which are a big Luka thing.
For sure.
Not getting reaching fouls and stuff like that. So I think that it's actually a really pretty good matchup with Tobias defending Luka.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, they do oftentimes like to throw Avery Bradley at whoever is on ball, regardless of the matchup. So we could still see Avery Bradley guarding Luka for a majority of the minutes.
Someone just commented, it also comes down to how much energy you want Toby expending on defense. Exactly.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
We need him to put up a bunch of points. And like, while defense, he is pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Not how he makes his money.
Definitely. And, you know, it will be probably a little bit more important for him to be snagging rebounds and such versus maybe like being like a dogged defender.
Yeah.
So that is a very good point. Thanks for that.
What is this, a paint versus ain't you got in here?
Oh, yeah. So I think whoever can muscle it out in the paint, despite the three-point shooting of each of our teams, this is really going to be the difference. We got outscored 62-48 in our first outing, and we actually outscored them 62-54 in the second outing.
Hmm.
And I think that it's one of those things that like whoever is going to be able to like extend the energy necessary down low and, you know, obviously get to the line is going to come out on top of, in this game.
Yeah. This goes well into your other point. Trez versus DeAndre.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that Trez is really going to bring the energy for this game. In our first game, they were both ESPN's fantasy players of the game. I think it's going to be somewhat of a similar kind of matchup tonight. Both those guys play really hard, and they're going to play really hard against one another.
Yeah, DeAndre's hustle is going to be something to keep an eye on in the beginning, because we all know DeAndre, he will just stop playing when he doesn't feel anymore. So if Trez, I like that idea of like Trez and Boban both maybe kind of being real chippy with him.
Yeah.
And just pestering him enough to get him off of his mental game and just make mistakes.
Yeah, and Trez, while he doesn't obviously have any sort of size advantage, like the energy and effort is so much there. Like I see him boxing DeAndre Jordan out. I think that he's going to make it a really tough night for him.
Let's hope so. And then a guy who I think we both want to have a good game, Shea.
Yeah.
Shea versus Brunson and Harris. He got kind of shut down the last time we played. Shea ended with 4 points after being guarded by Brunson for 12 possessions.
Whew.
And Devin Harris for 10.
Yeah.
So like if we could get another like crazy stat stuffing performance from Shea, like 8-4-6 or something like that. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be really good.
It'd go a really long way. He's going to have to shoulder a lot of burden, I think, depending on what the lineups are tonight.
Yeah.
With the lack of Gallo. And
I just think with the lack in general, every starter is going to be expected to score at least 10 points, which is insane that I even have to say that, but every starter is going to have at least 10.
Here's looking at you, Avery Bradley. Oh, yeah. Doc versus Rick Carlisle.
That's an interesting one.
This is a good matchup.
Yeah.
Is Doc going to tinker a ton on this game? I hope he does. I always like when Doc tinkers with stuff. It seems like they always kind of like, it always makes sense. There's never lineups where you're like, what the hell are we doing out
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Which is cool. But Carlisle is a fantastic defensive coach.
For sure.
They could get 60 plus rebounds again.
Like, I mean, easily.
I just hope Doc doesn't get stubborn with Bradley if things aren't going well.
Yeah.
Like you just mentioned, we need 10 points from each starter. Bradley is a liability when we need 10 points.
Yeah, 100%.
I think someone just asked a question about Motley.
Said Motley is going to get his revenge game.
Let's hope so. That'd be awesome. Motley just throws up like a cool 18 and 12. A note about, so the Mavs are on the second night of a back-to-back.
Uh-huh.
They played last night. They lost last night. Every starter played 30 minutes or more for the Mavs.
Wow.
So we could just maybe try and run these guys out of the building.
Makes sense.
Which would be really cool. What's your prediction for this game?
I think it's going to be close again, but I think that we might be able to pull this one out. I'm thinking 116 to 109 Clippers.
Clippers, I like that. I have 117-111 Clippers. Going to be just another cardiac Clippers game, I think.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I think everyone should have their heart attack pills or whatever you take for heart attack ready. Let us know what you guys are, what you think is going to happen. Coming up after this break, we're going to be doing some Twitter Tuesdays, talking about maybe a Melo situation, which would be terrifying.
Yeah.
But first, if you're watching and you're listening and you follow multiple Locked On Podcast Network podcasts, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates everything into one. It's great for longer stories on the Instagram story feed and everything like that. Coming up after this, quick Twitter Tuesdays.
All right, so we just got a question coming in. What do you guys think about Ed Davis, the center from the Nets?
Ooh.
You know,
looking at his numbers.
It just depends on the contract. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure of his salary, but I think he averages around 9 rebounds a game, which would be great.
We need.
Yeah. So I do think that would be a good fit. I think that he might. I'm not sure if he's a buyout candidate.
Hmm.
But I, you know, like if that's the situation, I think definitely worth it.
Justin Russo, aka Fly By Night on Twitter. If you're not following him and you love stats, please follow him. He's worried that the Clippers might waive Milos to sign Melo.
Oh wow,
which is something I didn't think about. This is just him being worried about it, which is totally fair. I could actually maybe see this happening. John Cooperman said, if we don't give anything up for Ed Davis, great. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, his salary is like a veteran minimum contract. Where's Milos? Yeah, as Charles said, the worry is
we don't know
that we might waive Milos and pick up Melo. I actually, I don't care about this deal at all. Like,
you think it's just a net?
I think it's net negative. I mean, not net negative. It's net neutral. To net positive. Honestly, our forward position coming off the bench can't get any worse than it is right now. I don't know why we don't just run him at the three. Seems like it'd be fine. And if it doesn't work, you know, once again, we're paying him a veteran minimum contract. You know, it's $4 million. And if the Melo experiment doesn't work, who cares?
Yeah, we just let him hang out. You know,
plus maybe we all get free Melo t-shirts or something. Who knows?
Dude, I love a Melo t-shirt. You guys think Clips really make a trade or stay put? Okay, so a week ago, I would have said we're staying put.
Yeah.
But now, it feels like there's maybe something in the works.
With two injuries, I guess things get a little bit more interesting. I guess I don't really know what to think. I mean, it's not going to be a big blockbuster trade.
It could be if you listen to yesterday's episode.
It's not going to be a big blockbuster trade unless we're able to move Gallo at the deadline.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it'd have to be Gallo and Bradley would probably get moved in the same situation.
Yeah. So what I was thinking earlier today was probably some combination of Gallo and Bradley for like maybe Vooch.
People have been talking about Vooch. Clipperholics had a great article about trading for Vooch. They consider it a net negative. That Vooch trade I don't like, I think, was Gortat and Rome. See, that's the other thing. I don't want to give up Jerome Robinson in a Vucevic trade.
Yeah.
We just haven't seen what he can do.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of Avery Bradley and Gallo for Vooch.
I think everyone likes that idea.
And then we might have to take on some salary filler or something just to make that deal work. But I kind of like that better long term a little bit more. Gallo has played great. I would hate to see him go, but like just I talked about this yesterday, but like the body of work would indicate that we're not going to get another season as good as this one.
Yeah, someone mentioned Terrence Ross. We talked about that, I think, last week or something like that.
Yeah.
A trade with Vucevic and Terrence Ross would benefit us so much.
I was also thinking Terrence Ross and DJ Augustine. I just think having somebody like him come off the bench would be really, really big for the Clippers.
You floated that one. What was it? It was AB.
AB and Gallo for Augustine,
Vooch,
and then we would eat Timofey Mozgov's contract just to make the money work.
Yeah, which kind of sucks.
And we could pay that. We could pay that this year. It's 16 mil, no problem. And then what we could do is use the waive and stretch provision over the next 3 years. And essentially, the way that the cap will be increasing, it would eat that entire salary, so it wouldn't really be that big of a deal.
I would be okay with that trade.
Robin Lopez would probably be the most realistic move for a center. Yeah, I would have thought so too.
There's something. Is he even going to get weight? Like, what is
not,
happening?
It sounds like they're not willing to do a buyout right now, which I guess makes sense. I don't know.
I think they really just don't want to do it just to prevent the Warriors from getting him.
Yeah, yeah. He's been interested.
Which shout out to the Bulls.
But yeah, it doesn't look like they're going to buy him out. So I was thinking that that would be a good candidate. We really need someone at the five, but it doesn't look like that's going to be possible currently.
Yeah, and the Vucevic trade that I think the weird territory we kind of get into is that he's done after this year contract-wise.
Yeah.
So we would have to kind of have a handshake agreement or something of like, we're going to re-sign you further after this.
Oh, I actually don't think that that'd be that big of a problem. I know people get bent
out of
shape about
that. Oh, I'm on board with
that. But no, I don't think that that would be a problem. I think that he would have no problem staying with any team for a long-term contract, even though he's an older player. I think he's like 27, 28.
Yeah, and he'd be taking a little less money if we could, you know, get a max guy too.
Yeah.
So why would you rather play in Orlando?
Yeah, I agree.
It just wouldn't make sense to like sign him. We've talked about this, to sign him for like a little over half a year just to kind of make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't
see... Like, that would kind of suck.
And that's why I'm comfortable giving up something that's a little bit more for this, because it's like a long-term thing. And like the Gallo thing, once again, he has played great, but that salary is going to be a problem, especially if we're really trying to like go after max guys. His, you know, 25 million plus contract over the next couple of years is really going to be an issue in making the money work with that.
Yeah, and for a guy who, I mean, let's be honest, probably won't have a season like this again.
Yeah.
In terms of longevity in combination with how well he's been
playing. Honestly, like, Vooch is having the best career of his season, and his numbers are the same to better than Gallo's. Like, in terms of rebounds, he averages almost double. Points per game, pretty close. Assists per game is really pretty comparable, too. Vooch can pass, which you know, would be great.
Someone just commented, Gallo and AB for Butler. I don't know. We're kind of anti-Butler.
I don't see...
His contract would just be too crazy to give him with his injuries and his...
Yeah, I'm not really that interested in like re-signing for that contract. I had floated the idea. I had floated an insane trade earlier. Let me see if I can bring that back up. I was out of my mind earlier today.
This trade's for sure going to work. But yeah, Butler seems, I don't know, I just don't know if he'd mesh with the whole team. Oh yeah, here, listen to this trade, guys.
Okay, so to make the salary works, this one gets a little crazy. But I think that the most likely trade target, honestly, for Gallo would be a team like the Sixers. And I don't think that they're going to trade us Butler. What I was thinking is we give the Sixers Gallo, and in return, we get Wilson Chandler, who we desperately need, Ben Simmons, who will take on that contract, Furkan Korkmaz, who is a decent bench guy, like it's fine, whatever, and TJ McConnell, who is like... kind of fits the mold for what the Clippers are. Like, if we're trying
TJ McConnell,
like kind of a grittier team. He's not my favorite guy in the NBA by any means, but I think him playing next to Lou would be fine. And, you know, anytime Lou is injured, it would be all right.
Dude, TJ and Patrick Beverley on the court at the same time. Good luck bringing the ball up.
Gallo for Landry in a first?
No.
Gallo's worth more than that. Here's the thing, like that Sixers pick, if we get a first, unless we're getting their first that they have from some other team, it's not going to be that good of a pick. And Landry, I like, but not enough to trade for Gallo on it.
Saw it on 2K, LOL. That's a good call.
That's fair.
We don't play 2K. Maybe I should play more 2K. I can wax everybody watching this on there.
But we would, you know, sending one player out and receiving four in return, we would have to figure probably something out with, like, waving people. Our two-way guys would probably have to go back to being, like, full-time G League guys.
That's so funny.
I don't know. It'd be a little insane, but I think, like, the money works.
The most important thing is, it is possible. It is possible.
And if that trade did go down, once again, just the trade for Danilo Gallinari, for Wilson Chandler, Ben Simmons, Furkan Korkmaz, and TJ McConnell, it improves our team outlook plus 17 points per game and plus 13 rebounds per game.
Someone just said, should we give up on Seth? And someone responded, never.
We will never give up on LAC.
Who's Seth? Who's Seth? Someone's asking who said this. So Seth Curry, if you're on the live stream a couple weeks ago, we found, it was like the movie National Treasure. We discovered that Seth Curry is better in every single category.
Than
Avery Bradley, by far.
Yeah.
Like, makes less money. He's number one in the league in three-point percentage. It's truly insane.
Do we know if Lawrence Frank is still scouting Kawhi, or is that just a rumor? I believe they're still sending dudes to the games. Oh. I just don't know how realistic that whole scenario is.
And I'm happy that they've maybe been more low-key about it.
Yeah.
Because I hated reading articles on ESPN about, like, look how thirsty the Clippers are, with, like, a gif of someone drinking a bunch of water. Like,
yeah.
It's like, dude, we know.
Yeah, we're not going to be desperate about it. Ultimately, like, Kawhi would be great. He'd be a great fit on nearly any team.
Yeah.
I just don't really see him wanting to move.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, probably answer some more Twitter questions, maybe into a little bit of an NBA wrap-up. So we can answer a few more Twitter questions. Gallo, Bradley, and a second for Kawhi. I don't think, no, they're not going to trade.
I mean, if that, like,
I mean,
yeah,
sure,
if that
yeah.
was possible, by all means.
I love that. What about a second for Seth Curry? Anybody? So we can get into the bit of an NBA wrap-up. This one is the Mavs got turned to glue and lost to the Bucks last night.
What?
They turned horses into glue.
Oh, okay. And dog food.
Bucks turned the Mavs into glue and won 116-106. Luka Doncic is going to be coming off his first triple-double performance.
Wow.
Yeah, he had 18, 11, and 10. After the game said, I didn't play very well.
Huh.
Every GM who passed on Luka should be fired.
Yeah.
Like, there's
even if you didn't need a point guard.
There's no logic, dude. Like, there's no logic. DeAndre had 15 and 15, and Dorian Finney-Smith helped with 13 off the bench. Giannis murdered everybody with 31 and 15. Brooke Lopez had 16 and 10.
God, we should have picked up Brooke Lopez.
Oh, that would have been sweet. And then Eric Bledsoe had 21, 4, and 5.
How dumb are the Lakers for not, keeping Brooke Lopez? That was so dumb on the Lakers' part. Like,
yeah.
They've needed that kind of center. They've needed the three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
They've needed the rebounding.
And they let Randall walk.
They somehow just let him go.
Yeah. Branching off to the Pelicans. The Pelicans beat the Grizzlies.
Way to go.
105-85.
Way to go.
Grizzlies seem like they're in
Grizzlies
not
are
a good spot.
In a bit of a free fall.
Jahlil Okafor put up 20 and 10. Have no idea how he did that. Jrue Holiday had 21, 11, and 6. Julius Randle had 20 and 12. Mirotić had 21 and 6 from the bench. No AD, no problem. You really think D-Rose is what?
Somebody said, do you really think D-Rose is an all-star? On this podcast, absolutely
no.
not.
I mean, numbers-wise, yeah, sure, I guess.
Randle has been solid as well. Yeah, he's been great on the Pels.
He's been so good. Mark Gasol was the Mama Grizz for the Grizzlies. That's the leading scorer, if you're new to the pod, with 22, 8, and 6. Conley had 20 and 8. Jaren Jackson had 14. No one else more than 9. The Pels are 3.5 games out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, which isn't too bad. Someone just commented, because we were talking about Jahlil Okafor's monster 2010 game. Did we go after him in the offseason? There were rumors of it. I can't confirm anything.
I have no idea.
I thought that he would have been a good fit. We had talked about him in the offseason or Alex Len as some possibilities.
I'm a big Len head over here.
Neither of them really came to fruition, but hey, on the bright side, at least we didn't get Dwight Howard.
Yeah, that would have been terrible. Why don't you guys like the Bulls, hate D-Rose, hate Jimmy Butler? We like the Bulls.
Yeah, I like the Bulls. I got nothing against the Bulls.
Captain
Kirk? D-Rose is an awful person, and I don't think he really deserves a second chance. And Jimmy Butler, I was somewhat interested in. I do think that he is a great player. I just think with the injury woes and the amount of money that he's looking for, he's not a fit for this team long term.
Yeah. So,
Derrick
guys,
Rose is trash. We're getting a comment. Correct.
That wraps it up for our recording of Locked On Clippers. I've been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys.
Tune in Monday through Friday. We're going to take a few more questions on the live stream while we wrap up. Light, rate, and subscribe on iTunes. Yeah, thanks for tuning in, y'all.